So, welcome everybody. What a great start. This is the ninth, and it's the start for us of the year of church again and being online with you all. So you're just welcome to be with us. You're treasures in the kingdom, and we just love you all. So we just wanted to bless you. Just as we start, we're just going to actually say a quick prayer first of all. And Father, we just bless this morning. We say, thank you, Lord, for life, health, and strength. And we remember Ange this morning, Father, in hospital. And we just pray a blessing and your favor upon her. And any others, Lord, that are on or listening this morning that have illness or sickness in their body at this time, we just release the presence of the Lord over you right now. And that his peace would be your portion. His promises over you would be fulfilled. And that you get to walk out the life that he dreamt over you in more ways than one, but it is just a life of purpose, a life filled with his glory. And so, Father, we bless this morning. We bless this message that the Spirit of the living God would just be released over the airwaves this morning and over everybody here that's with us on the Zoom call. So we bless both Zoom and also in the international forum. And so we just thank you, God. You are an amazing God. You are so powerful, so true, and so steadfast. And there is nothing that you cannot do. So we give you honor and we give you praise this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So bless you guys. What a great start to the year. We're glad to be back again. It feels like quite a while since we've been online with you. But many of you will know, but if you don't, I had a heart attack at the beginning of December, right at the start of December. I ended up in hospital a year later from when I was in hospital last year with clots in the lungs. But this year I ended up with a heart attack in hospital and thought, oh my days, what's going on here? God, this is not what I thought was going to be happening to my life. And you just, your mind races and goes to all these different scenarios of what ifs and what's about to happen and how long will it be? And yet in the midst of that, I felt a total peace. I felt that the Lord was with me and that he was on me. And it was amazing to lie there and watch an operation on big screen off to the side of me as it happened. And so I'm feeling good. I'm feeling better. And so I know I'm on a journey, but I'm also on a health journey now to actually put in my body good stuff that's going to do me good, that's going to clear up some of the issues that I've got and start. It's been like a kickstart, a real kick, but it's like one that's just set me on a journey and a pathway to be more determined this year to be healthier and to live better and to put in my body good stuff. Amen. So I'm good. I'm doing well. But it reminds me, certain things come against you in life and you're not sure, well, how do I cope with this? What am I going to do now to get over this? And you got to face these things because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So you know that your God's with you. And although the circumstances around you may be completely knocking you sideways, but yet in your spirit, because his spirit is in you, you know that he is greater and he is in you to do you good. So like I remember back in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 12, and when they're speaking about when they were coming against them, the nations were coming against them, and they felt powerless because of the great multitude that they seen in front of them who were coming at them to take them out. And it says there, and in the scripture in verse 12, it says, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And that is the only place you can be. That's the rock you stand on, wherein you're in the midst of a storm in life. You place your feet firmly on the very lover of your soul. And you say, God, I don't know what's going on, but my eyes are on you. I'm not looking at what's going on around me. I'm not looking at the circumstances because you are my source of help. You are the rock. You're my source of salvation and my freedom and my life. And that every breath I breathe, I get from you because of your ability to sustain me and to keep me. So I'm delighted that I get to speak this morning with a message that I was supposed to speak on the 5th of December. And we had to cancel because I was lying in a hospital bed. So I'm excited about this because I feel it now that it's even more appropriate that we start the year off speaking about His glory, and we are the carriers of His glory, that He has blessed you and blessed me with the ability to walk out a life with Him, expelling and just showing people the glory of the Lord. And we're going to look more at that as we go through this morning. You know, 2021 was a year which we started, and I said 2021 is actually 2021 WON, that we won, that we're in the race and we're winning. And then this year is 2022, and 2022 is Isaiah 22:22, which is the keys of the kingdom that we get, that we have been given, and God has given us authority as His people to unlock doors that many say can't be unlocked, and also to lock up doors of authorities and powers and principalities that we do not need operating around us or around our people at this time. So you can turn the key in that door and slam it shut and declare that it will not be open again. And so we just bless God because He is powerful and His power flows through us, and He has gifted it to us. Isaiah 66 and verse 18, "For I know their works and their thoughts. The time is coming to gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory." I think that's a powerful statement for this year, that He's going to gather all nations and tongues. Why? Because they shall come and see my glory. They're going to see the glory, His glory, apparent and vibrant and powerful on His bride, on us, you, me, and everyone that says yes to Jesus Christ. That's it. You know, we are called, it says that the out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And the other week I was saying, well, let it flow and glow. You know, so we flow in the river of God that flows through us and in us and around us. And out of that place, we glow, because we're not the people that are meant to hide or light under a bushel, are we? No. We're meant to be out there. We're meant to be in the community and shedding across our community the light and the power of God that dwells inside of us. It's not just for us to hold. It's for all around us. Because in Joel, it speaks about that in the end times, that His glory will be poured out on what? All flesh. So there ain't going to be nobody missed out. It's all going to happen, and we are part and parcel of it. We will see it, we will behold it, and we will know that God's on the move when He releases His glory in over the land. Isaiah 40 and verse 5, "And then the glory of the Lord will be revealed." Wow. You know, when God says something, He's got an intention to bring it to pass. Amen? And, you know, so God's glory, He said, is going to be revealed. And how is He going to reveal His glory? Well, it's going to be a sovereign move of God, yep, but it's also going to be a move of God through us, His people, who have said yes to Him, and we're going to be so vibrant, so powerful, and so ignited by the fire of God that others are going to come, and like Wesley said, come and watch me burn under the presence of God. So there's something that's shifting this year. I think 22 is the unlocking of the power of God, of His purposes and plans. We all know that the devil has had a reign. He's been actually going a bit wild and probably overstepped his marks on several places and in several cases. But this year is the year that the Lord is beginning to raise up His end time plans, His purposes for you, His purposes for your life. And you're going to have an anointing stir up in your heart, in your spirit, because He is in you and He dwells in you. And He has great plans for you and your life. So God is on the move this year. Like never before, we are going to step into the realms of glory, His glory. And we learn what it is to be empowered by Him, taken over by Him and by the Spirit of the living God, and to do exploits in the world for Him, to bring glory. Because the Bible says that if we lift up His name, then He will draw all men to Him. So our part is to focus on Him, love on Him, and to release what's in us to touch others and bring life where they have lost hope. And as far as they see, it's dark. And that we are the children of light, and we will come in and expose the darkness around them and cause it to go in Jesus' name. Amen. What a brilliant thing to be involved in and doing it this season. You know, earlier last year, I heard the old song, "When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more." But I heard that, and then it came into my head the words I felt God was speaking to me. And he said, when the glory of the Lord shall come and time shall be no more. And I really felt it was like the Lord was emphasizing that his glory is coming. His time is here. It's his season. He knows the end of days. He has put everything in place and in motion to bring us through to his return here to take up his throne here on earth. And so we're part and parcel of a fantastical plan of events and staged events. And I think this year is a significant staged event that God is bringing and ushering in to us, his people, at the minute. Isaiah 60 and verse 1. Well, what does it say there? Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Do you hear that? The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. This is a declaration over your life today that his glory has risen upon you. And it comes with a plan, it comes with a purpose, and it comes with a function for you to carry out at this time and this season. We know that in Isaiah 53, in that chapter, it speaks about the pain and suffering that the Lord Jesus went through as he went to the cross to fulfill his purpose here on earth and to actually make an opening, make a way so that salvation is free for all, but also so that what he carried here on earth, he could impart and that we get to carry that now. You know, so there's such a glory in this. There's such a glorious story of what God is doing. You know, change is coming and new is being born in 22. Isaiah 54 and verse 1. Shout for joy, O barren one, you who have borne no child, and enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out the curtains of your dwellings and spare not. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your pegs. Now, there's the word of the Lord. If you've not been seeing any fruit and you feel it, you're barren, then the Lord is speaking clearly today. It's time to kick that stuff right in the teeth and to stand in the authority of his glory that is in you and upon you, and to declare over you that this is a season not of pulling back, but of actually pressing in and of pulling the curtains even wider. And to, it says, spare not. So this is not a season to be thinking, oh, well, maybe I can't afford this, or what if? And you know, forget the what ifs. When God's speaking, you want to go with what he's declaring and see what unfolds before you, because God, our God, is saying, spare not. Don't hold back. Lengthen your cords and get ready for the expansion and the growth that is coming in this next season. Salvation will flow like a river, and people who don't know Jesus yet will come in to a relationship with him. And it's going to be a lot even in this year that we're going to see happening within the kingdom of God. So God is on the move. And so there's something in us that gets excited and stirred when you begin to see God at move. I mean, the children of Israel, when they seen the fire and the pillar of cloud, they loved it because they knew, well, what's happening now? Well, God's on the move and we're following the cloud and we're following the fire, because where he goes, that's where I want to be. And so they knew there was a security in being in the presence of God, being around his encampment and moving when he moved. Because when he moved, things shifted and things changed. And that's the word of the Lord to you today, that you get in his presence and you stay close to his heart, and that your heart is his heart, and that the two become one, even stronger than before. And Isaiah 43, verse 18, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing, and now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? Even if we make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. This is God saying that in a desert situation, in a desert barren place, he is the God who is the Lord of Lords, King of Kings. And when he decides to put water in a desert place, he will do it. He is the God that in Ezekiel 37, it said, when you view the valley of white scorched dead bones that are dry as dry as dry. And yet he speaks to the prophet and says, speak over them, declare and call them to arise, and the bones come together, and the sinews and the flesh, and this an army stands up out of dead, dry things. When we think the season that is so dead that nothing could ever change and that we're on a downward slope, that's when God moves, because he is making the declaration to excite your heart to say, I'm on the move, I have arisen, and even the dead will arise, and I will recreate what looks like a complete impossibility in the physical. Is when God says, not with me, it's not. God is in the job of doing impossibilities that shift us, shake us, and get us to focus our eyes back on the only true God, the supplier of every need that we have. His way, his plan for our lives is amazing. Remember the former things, neither consider the old. So we know about the old because it's history. We know the stories of it, but he's saying something different here. He's saying, forget that. The new is coming, and get into the new and accept the new day and make way for it, make room for it, and allow it to expand your heart for the greater in him. Your expansion comes when God decides to move, an expansion comes and growth happens. He also doesn't just mean here in your locality, in your community. He gives you a wide remit. I mean, in Psalm 2 and verse 8, he says there, ask of me and I will surely give the nations as your inheritance. Are we thinking too small sometimes? Do we need to expand our ability to think as he thinks, and allow him to saturate us so that the Spirit of God that's in us bubbles up and accepts, hey, there's more, there's greater, there is an explosion about to happen, and I want to be around when the fire comes and the cloud comes and God says, here we go, folks, hold on, because we're going on a ride. And Isaiah 54, verse 17, no weapon that is formed against you will prosper. So when God speaks things like that to you, it's a declaration of heaven over your life. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper. Why? Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. We are tapped in, birthed into, wrapped up, and completely covered in a blood relationship with Jesus Christ that actually gives us his authority, gives us the rights to step into the throne room and be in front of God and know his plans, hear his voice, and then utter his words. Amen. What a season we're entering into this year. It's a season of exponential miracles and of signs and wonders and stuff that we've been maybe not seeing for a few years, like dust and diamonds and glory, oil. You know, a lady from India contacted me day before yesterday to say, hey, I've got like oil running down the walls of my house. I've dried it, I've cleaned it off, and it keeps coming back. What do you think that is? I was telling her what it is, because it is a sign that makes you wonder, and it's saying to you, get ready, get ready, get ready, because God is on the move around your life. Even in India and all across the world, this is a global time and a global move of God. It's not community-based as much as it is more global this time, that we are stepping into the greater and the bigger things that God has said, because he said, greater things you will do than what I have done. And so this is part, I believe, this year, as we step forward and step into the greater and the greater works that God has for us all. Turn with us to Isaiah chapter 55. Just so we take a look at a couple of these verses here. And we'll start at verse 1. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come. Buy and eat. Come. Buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. I've heard that one. And delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen that you may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. You hear that? He says, his word to you, I will make an everlasting covenant, a binding relationship with us. And according to the faithful mercy shown to David, behold, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you will call a nation you do not know, and a nation which knows you not will run to you. Wow, come on. You think that's impossible? With God, it's not. When a nation starts running towards you, why? Because they have seen something upon your life, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Because of the Lord your God, even the Holy One of Israel, for he has what? He has glorified you. He has allowed you to partake of his glory, and it is in you, and it's on you, and it's around you for others as well. Seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. You know, and that's what the Lord is up to in this season. You know, and in verse 8 and 9, it says, but God's way is higher than our ways in chapter 55. You know, so there's a whole realm of God, a whole dimension of God that we may not ever get to understand the extent of it, but we know that there's a shift that is taking place right now, and God is moving like never before. Why? Because he has a harvest of souls to bring in. Everyone that doesn't know him yet is still a child of God. They just don't know it yet. And God's heart is that none gets lost. So he will work his glory, he will work his goodness and his favor to allow people to come into relationship. That's why we're hearing so many stories at the minute about, you know, Muslim people, you know, having Jesus encounters where he walks into their bedroom right at nighttime, has a physical encounter with them, and their lives get radically turned around. And so God, when he wants to, he will move like never before, and he will create the scenarios and all things that are needed to people recognize that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And says in verse 11 as well, his word will not return void. So when God declares something, when God speaks something, it is his word, and it is designed to go forward and do what is meant to happen, what it is meant to accomplish. That's where it goes. It doesn't return to him without accomplishing what he designed it to do. He is a God designer, and his design at the minute and his flow when we step into it is for the greater works and the greater mission that lies before us. And it says in verse 12, we got to go out with joy in this new season. There is not a season for slipping back, like we said, or thinking, I don't understand things, so I'm going to hide away in my cave. No, this is the season. You got to see it for what it is. It's a new day, a new season, and God is moving in this year. So look for it. Search it down. Seek it out and go after what God is doing, and watch, because it's in and around your life also. It's not just around mine. It's not just around those people in Kansas or in South America or in Argentina where we hear great stories of what God is doing. No, it's here right now with you, within your home, within your family circle. God is on the move. Isaiah 62 and verses 1 to 6, the nations will see your righteousness and kings your glory. Now, a king does not take notice of something that's minuscule or not, you know, a lot talked about. It's going to be something significant, a shift that happens that is going to raise the awareness of the Lord God Almighty across the world, that kings will take notice of nations, because they will see what? The righteousness of God dwelling on us. It's the light of God, the fire of God, and his ways in our lives that's going to shine bright, and people will take note, and kings will come to seek you out because they're hearing the stories of God stuff in your life. Amen. Isaiah 64 verse 1. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at what? Your presence. When the presence of God comes, the mountains shake, buildings shake. Fire comes down, touches tongues. 3,000 come into a relationship with Jesus in one day, and lives get totally, radically transformed. That's what we're calling for this year, that the move of God that we're expecting starts this year, floods out like a river, and that the river of God covers the land. As the seas cover the world, so that the glory of the Lord would come in greater effect and greater power this year. I hear an amen coming from you guys, because God's on the move. Amen. And you are his carrier of his glory. And I, in the glory of the Lord filled the house, it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 1. Listen to this about Solomon and his encounter. Now, when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Verse 2, the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled the Lord's house. The priests were designed to enter there. That was their duty. And yet at this encounter with the Lord, the glory was so thick that they couldn't even enter the Lord's house. Verse 3, all the sons of Israel, seeing the fire come down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, bowed down on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshipped and gave praise to the Lord, saying, truly he is good. Truly his loving kindness is everlasting. So when they seen fire come down, because the presence of the Lord was so heavy in that place that it filled the house, and fire came down, and the glory of the Lord was upon the house. The glory of the Lord, I'm declaring it now, that the glory of the Lord is going to be upon his bride, upon his house, like never seen before in the next month. So as we walk through his glory into the glory realm and see what he's up to. We'll know about Isaiah chapter 6 and what happened there, how the glory of the Lord fell, and that their encounter with the tongues, the fire that was on the tongue that changed his whole heart and drawed him into a place of surrender with the Lord again. And so we want to be that, because every so often, you know, folks, even me and you, you have to get to the point of re-surrender back to the one that you say is your Lord. And so we get busy in life and we do the things and we get on with things, and life structures take over and sometimes cloud out what God is wanting us to tap into. His ways are greater than our ways. And so we want to be the ones that know his ways and walk them out. So we walk in the glory realm with the Father. You know, I think there's an amazing scripture in Colossians, and just as we begin to wind this up, but Colossians 1 and 26, this is talking about the glory. And it says, that is the mystery. The mystery, a mystery is something that's hidden, but that gets revealed. And God is wanting to reveal the hidden and secret places to actually bring his awakening to his bride, to awaken her into the glorious, spotless, redeemed bride of Jesus Christ that's going to ignite this world with fire and cause things that have been dark to become light, because we will walk in with the glory and the light will overrun the darkness, and we will see our King in front of us and around us, and his army of angels going in front of us and behind us and all around. So it says, the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints. You are a saint. I am a saint. And this is the season of the mysteries of God being revealed to his church, to you and to me. And so we got to be ready in this season. And then in verse 27, Colossians 1, it says, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Mystery. He's going to reveal the mystery amongst the Gentiles. Gentiles is referring to people that don't know him yet as their God. So we're meant to be in the midst of them. We're not meant to be hiding away or abstract or out of whack with society, but we're meant to bring a change to society that actually brings light into dark places and causes change. And it says, to a glory to of this mystery amongst the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. You are his glory carrier, because you're going to bring hope to people when they see the world just going downhill. We are the ones that are going to bring the hope, because hope is in us, and it's hope in us that will bubble out and show people there is another way. There is a God that loves you, and we are his glory carriers. Amen. In John 17, verse 22, it says there that the glory which you have given me, this is Jesus talking to his Father. He says, the glory that you have given me, I also have given to them. Do you hear it? It is a done deal. He has gifted you with something that is precious to him, a relationship between Father and Son, that in him was the glory of the Lord God Almighty. And he, when he was knowing that he was going, was gifting it to us, his children, his followers, his believers in the glory, believers in the power of signs, wonders, and miracles. Come on, folks, this is such good news that God is on the move. He is calling you today to awaken, to stir up the gift that he gave you that cost him so much to give, but yet he deposited it in you the minute you said yes to Jesus Christ. And it's going to bubble up and come forward. And so he said he's given to them so that they may be what? One, just as we are one. It was the intention of the Father that this bond would not just be the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, but we as his children would be incorporated into that bonded relationship as well and see, hear, and be the sensing the fire of his presence, the glory of his kingdom, dwelling in us, bubbling up, and calling us to awaken into a new realm, a new dimension that is starting and has been starting and is going to always continue because he is in the midst of his people, ready to roll out his plans and his purposes. John 18, verse 5. They answered him and said, Jesus the Nazarene. He said to them, now this is just directly after what had happened, what Jesus had been talking about in John. Let's just turn to John 17. I think we need to unravel this a little bit more because it's important that we grab this and understand what's really going on. So John 17 and 22, and then goes on with 23. I in them, you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them. That's us, loved us, even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me, and you loved me before the foundation of the world. And in verse 25, O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you, and these have known you, that you sent me. The disciples are saying they actually knew him because it had been orchestrated by God. And I have made your name known to them and will make it known, so that the love which that you love me may be in them and I in them. So it's a love story at the end of the day. It's what God has gifted us out of love, not just for us, but for those that don't know him yet. We are his orchestrators of his purposes and his plans so that people come into relationship with the king. And then, you know, when you move straight in after that encounter with Jesus' prayer, you walk into the part where Judas has organized and, you know, they come to arrest Jesus. And in verse 5, it says, pardon me, they answered him, Jesus the Nazarene. He said to them, I am he. He said to them, I am he who was, and Judas also who was betraying him was standing with them. And then verse 6, listen to this. Now then, when he said to them, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground. Those words, I am, spark something in their spirit in a natural area, and they withdrew and fell back because they seen the glory of the Lord that was upon Jesus before he went to the cross. Come on. So that same glory that made people draw back and fall down is in you. It's in me. And in this season, this is a season where the greater works are being outpoured upon us to be in us and through us. And so people will back and drop to their knees. Why? Because it said what is in us is also what will draw kings to search us out, because they hear the stories of what God is up to in the midst of his people, bringing his fire and his cloud to actually change atmospheres and shift us into a realm of his glory that we get to carry, that is a gift from God personally to us. It's in you, and it's in you to bring glory to him, so that when we talk about him, all men get drawn to him. Amen. You know, so God is on a move We are part of it. There's no getting away from it. And we cannot, or we do not want to sidestep it or miss it in any shape or form. 1 John 4 and verse 4, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. There's a verse you need to type out, stick in your fridge, and declare it over yourself every morning. You know, when I was in hospital with the heart attack, you know, I believed in, because a story of a guy called Bill Lovett, which I had listened to in way back in 70, well, not 76, but probably around the early 80s, I heard the story of his testimony and how God had healed him from cancer. And that when things were going bad and wrong in his life and his wife was dying as well, he turned his eyes to focus on the Lord God Almighty. And out of that, he said, God did not call me to die. He called me to live. That man knew that he had a plan and a purpose from God that was implanted into his spirit, and it was alive in him. And he knew that what was going on around him was not the planned purposes of God for his life. So he would dig his feet into the ground and make a declaration. God called me to live. God called me to live. And he would speak it until it birthed something in his spirit, and it ignited something in his spirit, and he came alive with the presence of God. Not only that, it ushered in the healing of his life, the healing of his wife's life, and also what exploits he did for the king after that as well. You're called to live, folks. You're not called to die. Your time's not over yet. You've got so much to do for your king, and he has anointed you. He has appointed you. Do you hear that? He has anointed you. He has appointed you. You are not here by accident. You are here by his plans, his purposes, and you're about to get awakened to the new and to the alive, and what God has kept hidden now is going to be birthed to a greater dimension, because your spirit is coming alive with his spirit that dwells within you. Amen. Luke 18 and verse 27 says, the things that are impossible with people or with men are possible with God. Amen. There's another one you want to pin to your fridge under a magnet and declare it and speak it over your life. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 23, it says there, and Jesus said, all things are possible to him who believes. All things, not just a part or a segment, but all things are possible to him who believes. If you believe the Lord Jesus Christ and you had enough belief in you to step into a faith realm, to accept a God that you could not see, feel or touch that time, but yet you stepped over the line and you said, yes, in your heart, yes, Lord, I want you as my savior. Well, then you entered into a journey that is still going on. It just didn't come once then, and you were excited because you felt that burden of your old life was lifted away, and there was that peace and excitement. That was just a foretaster of what's coming. This is the season of what is coming, and we're stepping into the oncoming season that God is leading us into, because greater, you're in the greater. Greater is he that's in you. Greater works will you do. Greater anointing will be upon you, and the light of God will shine in you that will show people that you are a child of God. And others will be attracted to what they see, the beauty of the Lord Jesus within you, the love that you have for him, that you focus on him and that you love him and adore him because he is our Lord and our Savior. And from that place, all things will come and all things will be birthed in you for this season that we're in and where we're going with the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you excited about this? You know, it gets me buzzing, because I just think, oh, bring it on, God, bring it on. I want it and I want it now. There's a song like that, isn't there? I want it and I want it now. You know, but this is, I'm telling you, folks, this is what we're in. This is what we have been birthed for. This is why you're alive in this season and in this generation. You know, there's an old song that I used to sing when I was about 17, 18, and it was back from like the 40s or 50s. And I heard it a couple of times. I thought, you know, that's quite amazing, the words. And I began to sing it one time, especially when I was in a time of need and I needed to hear God. I was going for a job interview and I had got no word back, and 3 or 4 days had passed and nothing I'd heard back. And I was expectant because I was convinced this job's mine and I'm getting it. And because I had no word, I was like, maybe not. Maybe I heard God wrong. And I remembered the song and I pulled it out. And, you know, I began to sing this and I sang it. And then I sang it again, and then I sang it again, And then I sang it again, and I sang it until the words of truth, that declaration of truth coming out of my voice in song, was birthed into my spirit, and something in me ignited, and I believed God for the job, and I got the job. But listen to the words of the song. I believe God. I believe God. Ask what you will, and it shall be done. Trust and obey. Believe it and say, I believe. I believe God. So there's something for you to print out and declare over your life as well. You know, so when I'm talking about the glory of the Lord is in you and it's upon you, and it is also about to arise in a greater intensity, I felt that this morning it would do it injustice if I spoke a message, and some of you may not even be aware that the reality of the glory of the risen Christ is in you and upon you. You may not even know that truth yet, but this morning I felt it would be appropriate that we reach out our hands and I pray over you and call the Spirit of the living God, that glory realm that's within you, to awaken, to come alive and be birthed in preparation for what is coming and what is already around you. So I want you to do that. So if you just raise your hands, or you can touch the screen of your computer, or whatever you want to do. But I believe, and I'm believing, I believe that you are a believer, and that your believership is going to awaken and come alive in you this morning as we just speak these words out of you and over you. So Father, right now, Holy Spirit, I just say, come.
Come, Lord Jesus. Awaken, ignite, and pour your glory
in abundant measures in our hearts, in our spirits, and in our lives right now.
We're not calling for the
abnormal, Father. We're calling for what should be the normal. We surrender to you today and we say, Lord, we want to align our spirit and our lives with you and your glory. And you speak over us that glory is in us, that we carry your glory. So we're calling on you now, Lord, the God Almighty that gifted us this gift. And we say, Holy Spirit, ignite it. Let your fire fall right now in Jesus' name. Wherever you are, come, touch your people. Come, ignite them. Let your spirit fall all over right now in Jesus' name. We bless you with it, because it's God's heart to bless you and to do you good. So come, 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 Holy Spirit. Come like the wind. Come like the fire. Revive, repercolate, and set us free, Lord, from what has been holding us back. Break the chains that we have taken back around us again, and release us into this new season of the greater measures, the greater good of you, Lord, to bring glory to your name so that all men will be drawn to you. So today we say yes, Lord. We say yes. Just move, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus.
I just feel that where Andy was speaking about the sacrifice on the altar and the glory came as the sacrifice was consumed, and I feel like God is throwing out a hand this morning, and he's saying, are you willing to step back onto the altar to be that sacrifice again for me? Are you willing to lay down again your life for me? Are you willing to let me come and consume all that you are, so that all that you are can be filled with all of me? And I just want to give you that opportunity this morning to step into that place of consummation before God again, that place of sacrifice, of just taking a moment and saying, God, I step back on that altar again. I give it all over again. I give it to you so that you can come, that you can consume all of who I am, everything that I am, everything that I have, I give to you right now, my life, my family, all that I own, my home, everything. I give it to you today. Come, consume me. Come, pour your fire on this altar. Pour your fire upon me. Come and consume.
Mm.
So I just declare that over you today, those of you that are willing to be consecrated again, willing to be the sacrifice again. I declare over you today, the fire of God is coming upon you even now. Even now, just take that moment with the Lord right now. Just take a moment and tell him, God, I choose again to be that sacrifice. I choose again to surrender all that I am to you, all that I have to you. I declare over you today that you are chosen, that you're chosen for such a time as this, that you're chosen, appointed, and anointed for such a time as this. This is the season of glory fire. This is a season of glory fire. This is a season of glory fire. Where the fire of God is being poured out upon the altar once again. I declare the favor of God over you in this season, to know him, to know his voice, to know his ways. I declare over you the goodness of God in the land of the living, where you will know his goodness surrounding you every step of the way. I declare over you that as your enemies stand around you, that the trials of this season that are coming will be the compost that you will grow in, that you will mature in, that you will step into a new upgrade of anointing as you come through this season. I just see you coming into a new season of upgrade, a new season of promotion, a new season of anointing being appointed, like a new season where your assignment is reaffirmed. Where your assignment is reaffirmed. And I feel that there are people that have let go of their assignment in God. And the Lord says to you today, it's time to pick up the keys of your assignment.
Yeah.
It's time to step back in, take the scroll of your assignment, come into my presence as the Lord. Let me reassign you. Let me reassign you. Let me reassign you. Let me bring you through the door again of your assignment. As you have stepped upon the altar of my presence, as you have begun to be consumed again by my glory, as you begin to again be filled with the oil of my anointing, the assignment that I have for you is being reached out to you again. Pick up the keys of your assignment, says the Lord. Pick up the keys of your assignment. Let as you come into that assignment, come into it with the place of intimacy, that you would know that I am there, that I am greater, as was spoken this morning. The God of the impossible makes possible all things that are impossible.
Yeah.
And this is a season where God is making possible the impossibilities. It is a season where the assignments of God that seem impossible are being made possible.
Jesus.
There are keys that are being handed out on the altar where God says, as I consume you, take up the keys of your assignment, for the impossibles are becoming possible in this season, that you're going to know that you were born for such a time as this, that you're going to know that you were anointed, appointed, set apart, chosen, not forsaken, but set apart and chosen for this very season, that my glory would be displayed upon you, that the light of my presence would be displayed upon you. For this is the season of harvest, of double, double blessing, of double, double goodness, of double, double harvest, a season of reaping, a season of joy, a season of abundance. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 So remember, folks, if you've been on this morning and you've been watching online, take it and share it to your page and let others benefit from that as well. And so that the word of the Lord just encourages. And even by doing that wee bit, you're doing a bit for the kingdom to spread the word of the Lord and to encourage others, other brothers and sisters, to actually step up and hear that the God is on the move and that he is arising within you for the greater good. So you have an amazing week. May you have God encounters this week that actually lead you across the very people that when they see you, they will stagger back because they sense and they know there's something going on, but they're not quite sure. But they know that God's around you and that they can see the light of God in you and his glory rising upon you. So you get to do what the Father wants you to do and then listen to his voice, listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit when he prompts you to go and just ask, can I just help you with that? Or can I pray? Can I bless you? You know, just, I see you, you're not well. Can I just pray a blessing over you and just call God to actually touch your life? Because in you is a life force that has been a gift from God to us. And we want to tap into it and to use it for greater works and greater good. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's in God's plan. So if he's backing it, I mean, what have you got to fear about? There is no fear in it because we need to step in to the glory realms of God and see a world brought into his kingdom that is lost at present. So we want to bless you guys as we finish here. Have a great, amazing week under the banner of your Lord God Almighty.